And now to a new report from the Wisconsin Policy Forum that shows a big shift in where kids attended school last year. Homeschooling and virtual charter schools made big gains in the first year of the pandemic. A historic drop in public school enrollment, but there are nuances there. Did you enroll your child in a virtual charter school last year, or did you take on teaching and homeschooling? Did you hold your five-year-old back from starting school? What is the plan for this year? 800-642-1234 to join in. Mark Sommerhauser is Communications Director and Policy Researcher for the Wisconsin Policy Forum. He's the author of the report. Mark, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Absolutely. It's great to be with you.
Well, give us a sense of your numbers, the number of children who shifted to a different virtual option, like an online charter school or homeschool.
Sure. Yeah. So, you know, we don't actually have data on which kids shifted. We do have a lot of data that we collected for this report that you know, just looks at the enrollment of each sort of school sector. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of what was the basis for our report. So homeschool enrollment, probably the most eye-popping numbers here. We saw an increase of 47% in a single school year last school year in homeschool enrollment. That went up from a little less than 22,000 students to a little less than 32,000. You know, this enrollment increase, of course, was massive. It was the largest in a single year since at least 1984, which is the earliest year we have data for, and we think it's pretty likely it was the largest, you know, single year increase ever. The other piece that was an important part of our report was charter school enrollment. Charter schools saw enrollment up about 14% last year, mm-hmm. and the vast majority of that increase was driven by virtual charter schools. They saw their enrollment up about 84%. From a little less than 9,000 students to about 16,000 students. So, of course, you know, there are more than 800,000 students in Wisconsin public schools. So, you know, these numbers remain obviously quite small in comparison to that. But still, we thought it was really striking and frankly, just unprecedented, at least any time in modern times, to see a year-to-year increases
jumps
of that,
like that.
That magnitude. Yeah.
Mark, a little reporter's notebook here for us, if you will. Where did your data come from and how did you work with it, manipulate it?
Yeah, so all of our data came from the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction, the statewide K-12 agency. And it is based on the counts that are taken on the third Friday in September. Those are enrollment counts that all public school districts are required to take each year for purposes of calculating their revenue limits and other things. So yeah, that was the basis for what we worked with.
Moving to the public school enrollment, you found a historic drop. What happened there in public schools?
Yeah, so public school enrollment was down about 2.9%. And that was, you know, to put a little context around that, school enrollment, public school enrollment in Wisconsin has been declining. This last school year was the seventh consecutive year that it declined. But that said, you know, the decline of about 3%, almost 3%, was definitely by far the largest decline, both within the last 7 years. But we have data for on public school enrollment for about the last 25 years, and it was the largest one-year decline within that period of time. It also, with last year's decline, reached its lowest, you know, total amount that it had been at in the last 25 years. So pretty notable there as well.
But you had some nuances there. You found that, you know, pre-K and kindergarten had much greater drops than what you saw at the high school level.
That's correct. Yeah. So, you know, when we first saw this enrollment decline, we thought, okay, is this uniform? Are there differences by grade levels? And what we found when we broke it down by the grade levels was the differences were huge. The pre-K enrollment was down about 16%. Kindergarten enrollment down about 5%. Then we get up to grades 1 through 8, lumping all of those grades together, and that's a more modest decline, about 2.8%. At the high school level, enrollment actually ticked up. It increased very slightly, about 0.2%. And looking at the private school enrollment data as well, we see a largely similar pattern there. So, you know, we think this suggests that the enrollment decline might have been driven, at least in part, by families who, you know, sort of opted to delay starting their youngest learners, especially their pre-K students, in, you know, like a public school setting during the pandemic. So obviously we're going to find out this year, kind of what happens, but.
Yeah. And I know you say to exercise really extreme caution in drawing conclusions or interpretations of what's going on. I'm going to reintroduce you here. Mark Sommerhauser is policy researcher for the Wisconsin Policy Forum. He's author of a new report. It found large increases in virtual charter and homeschool enrollment last year. We saw public school enrollment declines. So, Mark, looking more closely at the private school enrollments that they have essentially fluctuated basically from year to year. What happened last year?
Yeah, so private school enrollment declined about 1.5% last year. So, you know, not as big of a decline as the public schools, but it was, in terms of comparing to recent years, as you said, the private school enrollment has kind of bounced around a bit. This was the largest one-year decline since 2013. Also, again, for context, private school enrollment in Wisconsin did hit its lowest point, at least in a decade, with the last year's decline. So, a notable trend there as well. And one of the reasons we found that interesting is there was, a little bit of reporting and a little bit of suggestion early in the pandemic that we might see, kind of this trend or this shift of a lot of students leaving public schools, going to the private school setting. You know, obviously, we don't really think that's supported very strongly by what we see in these data, given the decline in private school enrollment as well. It does appear that obviously the increases were what we discussed previously among homeschool and virtual charters.
My guess it's kind of complex, and there's a lot of push-pull here because, last year we had huge job losses and furloughs, family budgets getting really strained. I would have guessed that private school enrollment would have dropped even more. And yet, I listened to our neighbors putting their kids in private school because it offered daily classroom instruction and something they needed in order to keep going to work each day. So, my question is whether that might also have been a trend and whether these students will one day return to public school.
Yeah, I think that's very possible. I mean, obviously, every family, had different circumstances, but the issue you present is definitely an issue that, whether it's because of work or other reasons, that some parents might have been seeking an in-person instruction setting. Other parents, perhaps concerned about the virus, wanting to minimize any exposure to the virus, might have made the opposite decision and made a shift to avoid having their children be in that in-person setting, so their children could be learning remotely. So it really just kind of depended on the circumstances, family to family. In terms of what's going to happen, in this school year, that's kind of what every school district is on pins and needles right now wondering. I think obviously most districts right now are still enrolling students, and it'll be a little bit of time till we know for sure. Probably sometime in October is when we'll have at least some statewide data from the public school enrollment.
Well, Mark, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, absolutely. It's great to be with you.
Mark Sommerhauser, Communications Director and Policy Researcher for the Wisconsin Policy Forum. We have a link to the report at WPR.org/mornings. Coming up, we talk with the administrator of the online charter, the Rural Virtual Academy, made up of a consortium of dozens of public school districts. Have you switched schools? What do you want to know about the online charter system? It's 800-642-1234. Back in a moment on the Ideas Network. We're discussing the enrollment growth of online charter schools amid the pandemic on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The Medford Area Public School District back in 2005 authorized the opening of the Rural Virtual Academy Charter School, or RVA. And over the years, dozens of public school districts are now affiliated with the RVA. According to the Department of Public Instruction, there are more than 50 charter schools operating in our state, 4 new ones that opened last year. What do you think schools could do to improve remote or virtual learning? Have you looked at an online charter? 800-642-1234. Charlie Heckel, he is administrator of the RVA, serving 1,800 students across Wisconsin this year. Charlie, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, Kate. Thanks for having me on this morning.
Good morning. How has last year been for your virtual charter school? What has it been like?
Good morning, Kate. Well, thank you. Yeah, last year, throughout the pandemic, it was relatively normal for us, albeit virtual charter schools weren't primarily built in the early 2000s for pandemic reasons. We certainly were able to serve children adequately, though, through all the closures and in disarray that was taking place in traditional public schools last year.
Did you see the surge in applications or, parents wanting to get their children enrolled?
We did, Kate. We saw thousands of applications and families calling us seeking to potentially have their children enroll within our school. We were unfortunately unable to meet the demand there. Our board helps us set size and capacities each year to be able to maintain sustainable fiscal growth of our school. But yes, we literally saw thousands of families and children seeking different options last year.
What is your capacity limited by? Is it a lack of teachers or just how you administrate the program? What has to contain you?
Yes, it is really a matter of ensuring that we are growing with quality and not growing too fast. And we measure what the our partner school districts that we now work with over 50 Wisconsin school districts, and we look at what the needs are within their local communities as well as across the state, and we do our best to try to predict how big our school needs to be on an annual basis. But at the same time, we do not want to grow so fast that it diminishes any of the quality of educational opportunities that we provide to our families.
You know, for so many students, it was their first time in a virtual classroom last year, certainly for my kids. And it was such a wake-up call to parents and to kids and to teachers who had never really maneuvered through this environment for elementary and middle school in particular, in my case. What is that like for families that you have to help navigate them through this new type of classroom? Do you have any tips for how you do that?
Absolutely. And again, you know, here at Rural Virtual Academy, we had a 16-year head start in compared to traditional school districts in Wisconsin who really were asked and required to do nearly the impossible, which was to try to conduct remote learning opportunities built in the matter of months as opposed to years. And here at RVA, we have systems and protocols in place that help onboard families through multiple orientation sessions and personalized learning opportunities to ensure that families and children understand the technologies and their pacing and their curriculum as we go.
Yeah, you know, what does classroom size look like compared to maybe a typical classroom of 20, 25, 30 kids?
That's a great question. Here at Rural Virtual Academy in our live synchronous instructional classes from K-12, we hold our class sizes at about the same 25 to 30 students per class.
We have had so many issues with broadband and internet connection problems in Wisconsin, especially in rural areas. What have you seen for the lack of broadband, and what have your families experienced?
That's a great question, Kate. We do serve families all throughout the state of Wisconsin, and I would tell you from my perspective, it's not so much that a family cannot get connected to the internet. I see it as more about equitable accessibility for all families across Wisconsin. You know, as we look across the landscape, rural Wisconsinites, they do have options to connect to the internet, albeit though maybe through satellite or data plans through cell phones. But in these cases, those plans oftentimes don't provide high-speed access, they're not stable, and they're cost prohibitive. So what I see on the landscape is that rural Wisconsinites often have to live with less than satisfactory connections, unreliable connection speeds, and they're paying a lot of money for that.
Have you given families any workarounds or tips if they are having these types of barriers?
Well, we as a school help reimburse families for their internet connections during the time that their children are in school, which helps us subsidize and helps cover partial of the cost for their connections to the internet for their kids to be able to attend school on a high-speed internet connection. And then we will also provide families connected devices to their homes and assist them with networking through our own systems if they are unable to find a satisfactory connection from where they live.
We're talking with Charlie Heckel, administrator of the Rural Virtual Academy. It's an online charter school system serving 1,800 students across Wisconsin this year. And taking your questions, do you think your child excels or is set back in a remote learning format? What have you seen? What have you experienced in the pandemic year? 800-642-1234. Charlie, how do you respond to critics who say that students miss out on really important social, emotional, socialization in virtual classrooms?
It's a legitimate concern for everybody to ask, but I say here at Rural Virtual Academy, we put the socialization of our children at the forefront. We have an activities director. We have 15 people whom we call are titled regional event coordinators, whose sole purposes are to plan events all throughout the state of Wisconsin, both in person and online. Last year, even during the pandemic, where we were forced to do all of our activities online, we had over nearly 8,000 participants take place in over 120 different online events. This year, our goal is to have closer to 150 events serving about 10,000 participants across those events. So we make it a priority, and I encourage families to take a look at our ruralvirtual.org website and click on activities. You'll see a calendar of events where there are in-person activities going on nearly every day of the school year.
Very quickly, as we have to wrap up here, what do you think of retention? Do you think you will hold these numbers after the pandemic ends?
Great question, Kate. We are actually, we had projected a 20% increase in our enrollment, and it appears that we'll be meeting that mark by our mid-September state-mandated pupil membership count.
Charlie, thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much, Kate. I appreciate talking to you this morning.
Charlie Heckel, administrator of the Rural Virtual Academy. And for disclosure, RVA is a business sponsor of Wisconsin Public Radio. Stay with us. We discuss how climate change is affecting dairy farmers in ways that science and technology can make the dairy industry more sustainable. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.